Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Football Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Football Podcast. I am your host, David Feld. And once again, and with great pleasure, I am joined by Brandon Niles from 4for4.com and his own podcast, which is excellent, and can be found on Twitter with the tag @2GuysBrandon. That's @2GuysBrandon, where they talk about sports, movies, and other things that are very cool. This Fantasy Team Advice is part of the website, fantasyteamadvice.com, where everything sports is covered from NASCAR to football. And the baseball season is going to start in a couple of weeks, so head on over to the site and get started with getting your team busy. This is episode number 28 of the football podcast, and there's a lot going on in the second week of NFL free agency. The topics of choice tonight will be Chip Kelly and his wheeling and dealing, as well as what to make of the Raiders signing Trent Richardson and the Bills getting Percy Harvin, though that deal is not official. Both sides say it's quote-unquote done. And anyway, welcome back, Brandon. It's great to have you back. I'd like to jump right in, so go ahead and give us what you've got on Chip Kelly and where you think he's headed with Polk, Sproles, Matthews, DeMarco Murray, Sam Bradford, and no more Jeremy Maclin. Is this the weaponry he's going to start the season with, or do you think Chip Kelly still has a few deals left to do? Brandon, go ahead and riff until your heart's content, because I'm really interested to hear what you have to say.
Thanks so much, David. Once again, thanks for having me on. It's always really, really nice to talk to you, David. I'm excited to be here. And
it's
you
a
know,
pleasure, Brandon.
I'm really excited about what Philly's doing. You know, when I start looking at each individual move, you know, getting rid of Nick Foles and shipping off LeSean McCoy and not re-signing Jeremy Maclin, you know, with so much turnover, you got to worry a little bit because it's such a drastic change to the team. But when you look at each individual move, it kind of makes sense. You know, Nick Foles was, for all intents and purposes, kind of outplayed by Mark Sanchez last year. So maybe if Chip Kelly's not sold on him, he deals him away. LeSean McCoy, $12 million a year. I love McCoy. But Chip Kelly wanted to bring in Kiko Alonso, only 2 years removed from defensive rookie of the year. Jeremy Maclin, it makes sense you wouldn't want to pay a guy over $10 million a year to, you know, he's 26 and he's very talented, but he's coming off a very big injury-plagued season. You got Jordan Matthews waiting in the wings. So I kind of get what's going on. I'm with you, though. It's a head-scratcher, the fact that he's going to go into this season with Sam Bradford and Mark Sanchez when he had Nick Foles. DeMarco Murray coming over from Dallas definitely makes the offseason look a lot better to me. It makes more sense to me that you've got an elite running back for a little bit cheaper than what you were paying with LeSean McCoy. But it's for all intents and purposes, that's what he's going with this year. He's got Sam Bradford, Mark Sanchez as an insurance policy, and Murray, Matthews, Riley Cooper, and Zach Ertz are going to be the guys in that offense. So I think it's very possible that Kelly may try to flip Bradford or may try to find another quarterback along the line, probably draft a receiver. But I think this really is going to be the offense that Philly goes forward with. The only other thing that I've heard rumored is starting left guard Evan Mathis maybe on the trading block as well. But it's going to be a new Eagles offense. And, you know, I guess we could call it with Kiko Alonso over there, I guess we could call it the Philadelphia Ducks. When do you think they'll change the logo?
Yeah, right. Make that Eagle Bill a flat bill or something. I don't know what they're going to do with that, but that's pretty funny. And, I'm telling you, I could see something like, I'll give you, hello, Tennessee Titans, I'll give you our first and third round pick this year, my second next year, plus Sam Bradford, plus Ryan Matthews for your number one pick this, you know, in this draft. I mean, I'm thinking that that's a possibility, or just blow Tennessee away where they can't say no at two, and then he goes and gets his other duck. I mean, Kiko Alonso, Josh Huff, and whoever else he's got over there. But I don't think he's done. I really don't. I think he's really, not only is he obviously an awesome offensive you know, thinker or, you know, executor, whatever. He is some kind of deal-making kind of guy. He wants his team. So I don't see it. I don't see them stopping. I can't imagine. You know, Bradford hasn't been healthy in such a long time. I know the line was horrible. You know, they had that Justin Smith with the bust. They had a center that they drafted fairly high that really wasn't any good. And, you know, Jake Long, they paid so much money to, and he just couldn't stay on the field. And the quarterback was getting killed over there. You had that one half a good season or maybe a little more from Darrell Richardson. My point is there is that Sam Bradford spent, you know, 2 years getting his ass kicked and injured over there. So I don't, I mean, and Chip Kelly needs a quarterback that can at least move a little. So it seems with the way the offense runs there, they need to move the ball around. I mean, they're trying to run 70 plays a game, and they're going to be, apparently they're going to be losing a very good guard. And I know he's older now, but that guy's really something. I don't think Chip Kelly's done dealing here. I really don't. This is, you know, right now this is his, you know, he's in like phase two here. I see something else happening. I mean, I could be surprised. He could say, look, Sam Bradford really is my guy. And, you know, make nice with Evan Mathis and sign him and sign him back again for a couple of years if they have to give him that third year, whatever they do it. And I could, you know, it's possible. But I just think that, I mean, my inclination tells me that he's not done dealing yet. Ryan Matthews has a lot of, you know, a lot left in the tank if he can stay, you know, if he can stay undinged up. And I could see that being a valuable guy for a team that's got at least a decent offensive line that might be interested in a back that's solid that doesn't cost a whole hell of a lot of money. And they don't have to take a chance on a rookie coming in that they're going to have to, you know, kind of feel his way in. You know, you never know with a rookie running back. But, you know, a seventh-round guy or a sixth-round guy could turn out to be a good player, and a first-round guy could be a bust. At least they know what they're getting in Matthews. If he can stay on the field, he's a pretty good player. Both catch the ball and run pretty well. His numbers are solid. When the line was better in San Diego, I thought he was a really good player. You know, he showed that, what, you know, kind of good player he can be. So I could see that being part of a trade with Sam Bradford and, you know, Jordan Matthews, Riley Cooper. The two tight ends are very good. I think Zach Ertz is awesome. And, you know, Selleck's a pretty good player in his own right. So they have plenty of targets to throw the ball to. And, you know, I'm not worried about the receivers necessarily. I thought letting Macklin go for whatever $11 million the Kansas City Chiefs got senile and decided to pay him that kind of money for. I don't know why, but, you know, they had the one great year. So long story short, Chip Kelly's not done. I think there's going to be more deal-making to be done here.
Ben, you might be right. You know, they picked up an extra pick in that Nick Foles trade also. I think they get a fourth-round pick, or if Bradford doesn't start 8 games or gets re-injured or something along those lines, then the Eagles get a third-round pick, something like that. But
it's conditional. I didn't know that. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, they get a conditional pick, so that kind of safeguards them a little bit. It's possible the Eagles just really like this draft. It's possible.
I think, you know what, a lot of
kind
people
of the
do.
Case. Yeah, there's
a lot of people like it.
Playmakers. Yeah, there's also, I've said this a lot before, this really isn't the year to need a quarterback. So it's possible Chip Kelly took a look at Mark Sanchez last year and said, here's a guy who maybe isn't the future of the franchise, but here's a guy who we managed to string together some good games with. So let's bring in the upside Sam Bradford, get that extra pick that safeguards the trade. And if Bradford fails, then shoot, I can roll with Sanchez. So I think you may see him make a play for Mariota. It's going to be awfully difficult for Philly to get all the way up to 2. I think, where are they, 20th, I think?
They're down. They're not going to – where they're drafting, they're not even going to come close to being able to draft Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, and Tennessee, you know,
down there in the mid-20s, I think.
Yeah, Tennessee to go all the way from 2 down to 20 would be a bit of a stretch. I think if the two receivers go off the board, Amari Cooper out of Alabama and Kevin White out of West Virginia, if they're off the board by the time Oakland picks at 5, then I think you could absolutely see Philly try to make a trade with Oakland to get up there to that number 5 spot and beat the Jets to Mariota. But it's going to be interesting to see what Chip Kelly does. I'm with you. You never know. He might have a bunch of stuff under his sleeve. He might be kind of going with it. The other moves Philly has made, you know, they cut Trent Cole, who longtime stalwart, which I get, veteran guy, but they gave a bunch of money to Byron Maxwell, which I like Byron Maxwell. Legion of Boom member, you know. He stepped up big this year, kind of filling in for the departed Brandon Browner in Seattle. But, you know, they gave Byron Maxwell, I think, $60 million. So that's a It's a lot of money.
Yeah, I know. No, I was thinking the same thing, too. I was like, wow, that's a lot of money for that guy.
And I like Maxwell, but, you know, Philly runs the type of defense under Billy Davis that's going to require Byron Maxwell to play a little bit more man-to-man coverage than what he did in Seattle. And I'm not saying he can't do it, but bringing in a guy and having him play a little different defense than what he's accustomed to, especially at the cornerback position, always makes me a little bit concerned when there's a lot of money going on. So we'll see what Philly does. Definitely, along with New Orleans, probably one of the most interesting teams this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just real quick on New Orleans, what is all this maneuvering, what that does for Brandon Cooks' value is from a fantasy perspective and what they expect from a, you know, from a production thing out of him, I think. You know, with Marcus Colston taking a step back and losing Jimmy Graham and Kenny Stills, I think the door is wide open for Brandon Cooks to kick it in and just have, you know, just be one of those guys.
You
I think we'll be talking
so.
About him next year like Randall Cobb.
Yeah, tremendously talented player, can touch the ball in a variety of ways, can get downfield in a hurry, can run great routes. You know, it's too bad we saw him get hurt amidst a group of really, really talented rookie receivers, which I know we talked about, I think, the first time I came on the show. And Brandon Cooks, you know, you're absolutely right. Unloading Kenny Stills, which is a move that doesn't make sense to me, but unloading
I
Kenny Stills, I
don't understand that at all, man.
Yeah, you got a guy on a cheap contract. You give him up, sure, you get a third-round pick, but you also take on salary with an Ellerbe terrible contract? Well, I don't know. That's
oh, my God. You know what? I don't think Chanel Ellerbe is all that good.
He's not.
He did
he
not
was,
play up to his Miami contract at all.
Not at all. And, you know, even before he got hurt, you know, he was hurt last year, most of the year. But he certainly wasn't playing up to it in his 2 years in Miami. So, you know, the Saints bring him in, and sure, they needed somebody to replace Curtis Lofton, who they cut in probably a cap move. But Ellerbe has a bad contract. I think he's making $9 million this year. That's a lot of money to put into a guy coming off a serious injury who's been underwhelming since his time in Baltimore. So, yeah, the Kenny Stills trade doesn't make any sense to me, but at least from a fantasy owner perspective, if you're looking at the Saints and looking at that Kenny Stills maneuver, you're absolutely buying in on Brandon Cooks. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, so I think that's a guy to keep an eye on. If you don't have him, go get him. And if you're in a situation where you're going to be redrafting, I would start moving him up the board and make the case for, you know, that like top of the second tier wide receiver in there somewhere. You know, for your wide receiver 2-1-12, you know what I'm saying? I think that's where he's at right now. So I'm pretty impressed with, you know, I'm not impressed, but I'm looking forward to do and have a high expectation for a big production from Brandon Cooks in that New Orleans offense this year, because I don't think they're not just going to stop throwing the ball 650 times a year. So.
No, absolutely not.
So I think that's a harbinger for good things for Mr. Brandon Cooks there. Moving on to the Oakland Raiders, the Latavius Murray people who hung on to him in Dynasty and Deep Keeper were loving seeing, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew finally retire. They, you know, they signed their center for big money. They, you know, apparently are going after some guys to make the running situation better. And it looks like Jack Del Rio has the opportunity, or certainly has the ability, to take a young and fragmented team attitude-wise and really get it, you know, centered. I don't know if he can take it very far from there, but I know he can settle it down because he was able to do that in Jacksonville. I see the same thing going to happen in Oakland for him, and he's not the kind of guy who's very much patience for an offensive line that can't block. So I see that to be looked like a situation where Latavius Murray was starting to at least be perceived with the upward-moving arrow and, you know, vaulting into that conversation where, hey man, maybe he really is a keeper in like a six or seven keeper league, you know, probably most definitely a nine and higher, but you know, in that range where you're just thinking, wow, he's got a good opportunity here. And all of a sudden they pay Trent Richardson like $3.9 billion to take on. I don't understand that. And maybe they're hoping that because of his hype and his draft stock that maybe he's gonna get an opportunity there, which means he's gonna cut early into Latavius Murray production, most probably, if they're going to give him a shot, or they just see how it goes in camp and cut him. What do you think about that situation?
But, you know, Murray got a little banged up throughout the season, so I think maybe it might be a little bit of insurance. He's a tall. I think he's 6'3". He's an upright runner, you know, which, you know,
yeah,
great running backs do that. Guys like Eddie George, great guy running backs, run upright like that and have that big, tall stature when they get downfield. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. They brought in Trent Richardson on a deal that does make you scratch your head a little bit. I think the deal was more about the fact that Oakland is way under the salary cap and they gotta pay people. So, you know what? That's right.
There's a collective bargaining agreement thing where you're compelled to spend an average of whatever there. So yeah.
Yeah. So I.
That's
I
right. So maybe they didn't care for 1 year. They got to take a chance.
Yeah, trying to hit that floor, you know, guaranteeing the money this year, that makes sense to me. But, you know, I like it from a football perspective. I like Oakland signing Trent Richardson because here's a guy who, you know, he's kind of low risk at that point. You try to get to your salary floor, he's hungry, he really wants the chance to redeem himself. And if you don't let him, you cut him next year, you're not really out a whole lot. From a fantasy perspective, I'm with you. It's very concerning because they did give him money. They also brought in Roy Helu. From Washington, who's a pretty good player. So,
yeah,
I think we're going to run into a situation where you might get a hot hand situation with Latavius Murray, or you might get just a straight-up camp battle. But I'd be a little bit concerned, whereas, you know, a couple weeks ago, if I had Latavius Murray in a dynasty league or if I was looking at him, you know, for a redraft league, I had him much higher up on that list. I'm feeling much more confident about him than I am now with Richardson and Helu in the mix. And they're going to run the ball. They brought in Mill Musgrave and Jack Del Rio, guys who've worked together.
Exactly.
They worked together, I think, in Jacksonville. But Musgrave has overseen Adrian Peterson years, Fred Taylor solid years. They're going to run the ball. So somebody's going to do well. And you got to think it'll be Murray. But I think Helu will get his touches and Richardson will get his chances.
Yeah, I think so too. Part of, you know, Murray had it going pretty good for a while last year. You're right; he did get banged up, but if you remember that, I think it was towards maybe the end of this, maybe it was like in the last quarter of the season. I really don't remember exactly when. He took like a nasty, cheap helmet to helmet hit in a rain game against somebody. You know, a game in the rain against somebody, and I was like, man, that's going to set him back, man. He took it well, and as soon as they saw it, they took him right out of the game. He did not come back in. And but he played the next week. I thought,
was that,
you know, that was, I don't know if the guy got, do you remember that?
Yeah, was that the Kansas City game where he had four carries,
I think so,
100
yeah.
yards, and two touchdowns? Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
Because he had that 90-yard run in the second quarter, and everybody went, who the hell is this guy? And then I think you're right. I think he took that shot, like, on the next drive or something along those lines, didn't touch the ball.
Uh-huh.
The
and then he didn't come back.
So,
and then he wasn't the same after that. He wasn't, you know, that was a hard, cheap hit. And, you know, he's a big boy. He's 230 pounds, and he runs like a 4.4 or something, something ridiculous. And he's like, you don't want to tackle that guy. And he's, you know, and he's shifty enough. He's not, like, the most elusive guy on the planet, but – you know, you got to get to him in a hurry because he's so damn fast. And if you don't get an angle on him at 230 pounds, you ain't bringing him down. So it's like,
yeah, absolutely,
you got to be ready to go with him. And you know, and so when guys stick it, when he goes to bust it up in there, you know, guys are like, I'm not going to risk getting killed, and they just take the chance. And that guy hit him right square on the head, man. I just couldn't believe it. And you know, they were so concerned about it all year. There's no flag on the play. Nobody gets called. I don't remember seeing if there was a fine or a suspension or anything. You know, after that, but I thought that was cheap. Like, I don't own him in any league, so I didn't have a fantasy stake in it necessarily, but just from a loving football kind of thing and understanding what they're trying to do with the new rules and these protections and stuff, I thought that was really dirty. So, you know, and he wasn't the same after that. So maybe they think you're right. Maybe they think that if he's susceptible to those kind of upright running style hammerings that backs like that take, then potentially for the future, that could be something that shortens his shelf life. And, you know, maybe taking a flyer on Trent Richardson here, if he can ever get, you know, his attitude straight, because I don't know if it's talent or attitude or if it's slow eyes with him or inability to recognize or vision, whatever it is, he's just, I mean, come on. They coughed up a first-round pick and then cut him. A bad team traded, you know, a bad team traded the highest-rated the quote-unquote best running back prospect since Adrian Peterson. They traded him for, at the time, was a late first-round pick, and then 2 years later, that team that traded for him cut him outright. So, You know, that I think that spells more, you know, towards attitude. I'm not a professional scout. I can look at a guy. I can't look at a guy and tell you, yeah, it's going to be great or that's going to be good. But I know when it's bad, and he looks bad. He looks bad.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, even his rookie year when he had 11 touchdowns and got close to 1,000 yards, he only averaged 3.6 yards per carry, which is his highest average of his career. And that's always concerning, you know, because running backs don't take a long time to develop. Running backs come in, they usually hit the ground running, you know, pun intended.
There you go. the running back.
That's right.
But, you know, you're right about that. And don't forget, Cleveland's line is, you know, ever since Joe Thomas got there, has been ridiculous. So, you know, one of the best in the league every single year. So I didn't understand that. And then guys like Chris Ogbonnaya and other guys are producing better yards, you know, are producing better average numbers than him. You know, granted the samples were smaller, but they're still better averages. So I'm not a Trent Richardson fan, and I overpaid for him in a couple leagues a while ago, and it has, you know, it's cost me. So.
And you're right about Cleveland, that line. You know, they added Joe Bitonio on the left side. They got Alex Mack at center. And, you know, guys that produce in that offense, too, they're doing it without a quarterback. So they're facing eight men in the box.
Exactly. You know they're not passing most of the time. Exactly.
Yeah, just a testament to that line. You're absolutely right. Arguably one of the best lines in football.
Ever since Joe Thomas got there, every year it's been like that.
Yeah.
But one guy with his produce for you, man, is unbelievable. Unbelievable. But let's move on. Over in Buffalo, Percy Harvin, the Percy Harvin situation, that appears to be a done deal. All sides, you know, seem to be like it's done. And Charles Clay, I think he just signed his offer a couple hours ago or something like that. That makes LeSean McCoy, Fred Jackson, Bryce Brown, Sammy Watkins, Percy Harvin, Robert Woods, Mike Williams, and Charles Clay, all led by Matt Cassel, and a very iffy offensive line. And the big question that I think certain people want to know, particularly me since I have him in 3 weeks, is what does this do to Sammy Watkins' fantasy value? Does it help, hurt, or is there no change? And how do you assess Watkins' value? Like what pick, like, you know, if you were to say, like, what kind of pick is he worth in the dynasty? Or a keeper, and where do you pick them up in a redraft? Why don't you go ahead and
Mike Williams isn't there anymore, but that's not that doesn't affect your point. Sammy Watkins is still the guy. No, he kind of had a falling out with the team, and so he's moved on. So at least my understanding.
Okay.
But I'm
slow on that.
I could be wrong. That's right. In any event, either way, he's going to be an afterthought behind, even if he's still there and I'm wrong, behind Robert Woods, Percy Harvin, Sammy Watkins. In my perspective on this Buffalo team, I think Sammy Watkins has the talent to overcome the problems that are going to occur with the Buffalo Bills passing game. But nothing about Matt Cassel at quarterback, and nothing about Rex Ryan's ground-and-pound mentality at head coach, and nothing about Greg Roman at offensive coordinator who likes to pound the ball, makes me think that this Buffalo passing game is going to be prolific enough to support more than one fantasy option in the passing game. So I'm selling Charles Clay, I'm selling Percy Harvin, I'm selling Robert Woods, and Sammy Watkins is the only guy I am going to keep a hold of because I think he's got the most talent and has the most opportunity has the most chances of maintaining his value. I'm definitely concerned about him because of Matt Cassel throwing the ball and because you've got really three backs who can run the ball with McCoy, Fred Jackson, and even Bryce Brown. So I think they're going to run the ball a lot, and I think Sammy Watkins is probably going to be the most value of the best and still get his big plays once in a while. But I'd be a little concerned. I really would be.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment as well. And you know, it's funny, you know, I was praying Buffalo wouldn't draft him because, you know, I was thinking about the teams I didn't want him to go to, you know, and Buffalo just seems to be wide receiver hell. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just the way it is. You know, like some teams, like, you know, Denver and whoever, it just seems like every year, like no matter who the quarterback is, they're passing the football, whether it's Kyle Horton or, you know, Tim Tebow or Peyton Manning or whoever. They just fill the air with footballs. New Orleans fills the air with footballs, you know, all this other stuff. But Buffalo is for whatever reason. I mean, we back in the day, Lee Evans and who was the other guy? Was a really good player, Eric Moultz. Those were really good players who, you know, who didn't do that much. And the quarterback situation was arguably slightly better than it is right now. So I'm not a huge fan of what's going on in Buffalo. And I think you're right. It might be you'd be careful with Percy Harvin, but Watkins is probably the guy in the passing game. It's probably the guy in the passing game that you want to keep. I agree with your assessment there. And by the way, you are absolutely correct. Mike Williams is no longer on the Buffalo Bills depth chart. I don't know where I picked that up from or why I thought that when I was writing our notes there, but he was. Maybe I just didn't, you know, look at it at the time. But way to straighten me out on that. I really appreciate it, Brandon. And
It's tough to keep track of these guys. I tell you.
Well, especially when you get drafted so high. Everybody knows about you with a decent rookie year, and then you completely fall off the radar, and nobody knows about you anymore. Hello, Greg Little. You know, it's like we just don't hear from him anymore. But
yeah, those sophomore slumps, those guys, those rookie receivers. You know, it doesn't seem as often that I see receivers make a big impact their rookie year and then fall off a cliff. It seems like that's more of like a running back thing to do, but. Mike Williams, absolutely. You know, he looked like he was going to be the next big thing his rookie year in Tampa,
right?
But he just has not been anything since then.
Yeah. So, real quick on just get back to Jeremy Maclin for a second. I'm sorry. I wanted not that it's a Philly question. It's really more of a Kansas City question. They were cap strapped beyond belief. They were doing everything they could to clear space to sign Justin Houston. I don't know whose contracts they reworked, but I know Eric Berry, Derek Johnson, and somebody on the offense, Tamba Hali, I think. I think those guys like make a big, fat ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Bowe, after he signed his big contract, you know, had his showing up fat and then getting suspended for, you know, possession of marijuana thing going on there. So that, you know, I don't know if they're moving on from that, if they've already moved on from that, and or if they're looking to trade him or what, but there's some, you know, I thought they had a lot of problems, and then they go out and spend $11 million on Jeremy Maclin. We only got a few minutes left. Why don't you take us to the end with what you think about that? Was that good, bad? How's that going to work? And what do you think he's going to do for the upcoming season? Is he a 10-point guy in a standard scoring league or less?
I think he's going to hover in that wide receiver 2 range in a fantasy league as long as he's on the field. And the reason I say that is because Maclin has been a productive fantasy player throughout his career. His problem is he can't stay on the field. So last year he stays on the field all year. Chip Kelly offense, he kills it. So I think he takes a step back from last year because last year was a borderline wide receiver 1. He's still under Andy Reid, but of course now he's got Alex Smith throwing the ball. Where I think you're going to see Jeremy Maclin improve is I think you're going to see him under Doug Peterson, the offensive coordinator with Alex Smith there, I think you're going to see him catch more balls. He's probably not going to have the same impact, but I think he's going to get the same amount of, you know, just maybe even more targets and catch more passes. So, you know, Kansas City is a very risky move, but this is a team that hasn't had a good receiver since the way Bowe was Dwayne Bowe, and they needed to do something.
Right.
And, you know, that's what they did.
Dwayne Bowe,
you're right.
15 touchdowns. You know, Dwayne Bowe had that 15-touchdown season a couple years ago. We haven't heard from him since. You know, Travis Kelce looks like he's going to be a pretty good player. And I think if Maclin does stay healthy, I think you're right about that. I think he's probably a top, you know, top of that second-tier kind of guy.
Yeah, it seems like it. So, I love Jeremy Maclin. So I'm really rooting for the kid. I hope he stays healthy. He's only 26. I want his career to get back on track after so many injury problems early on. So, you know, I hope he does well, and I think a lot of it, Andy Reid's familiarity with Maclin, I think, kind of helped drive him going to Kansas City on the contract that he did. So, you know, Kansas City, they're going to be improved this year with Maclin in the offense, with Ben Grubbs on the line. They traded for him from New Orleans. He'll play left guard.
Love that pickup. So, I wanted the Jets to do that. I love that pickup.
Yeah, you know, he's got a pretty big contract. I think he's got a $6.5 million cap number this year. But, you know, that's not terrible for a starting guard. And Grubbs, you know, he slipped a little, but he's still an upper echelon guard in the league. So I like that, too.
I agree with that, absolutely. You know, Brandon, unfortunately, I wish we had a little more time to do this, but we've reached the end here. And I really do appreciate you coming on again. Again, that's you can catch up with Brandon Niles at his podcast, which is at Two Guys Brandon, And, Brandon, it's always a pleasure. I really appreciate it, and you have yourself a great week.
David, thanks so much again. You, too, had fun, and it went by too quick.
I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Be good.
Take care.
Bye-bye.